Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Roofer Show, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I'm your host, Dave Sullivan, and I've been a successful roofing contractor for over 30 years, and I'm here to share with you what I've learned. You can get more tips, strategies, and free downloads by going to my website at theroofershow.com. Today, I've got a great interview with Mark Levesque with Web Runner Media. Mark is an expert when it comes to pay-per-click. This guy knows his stuff. That's all they do. And I've never known all that much about it, but I've got a lot of questions, and we're going to really get into it. It's a pretty long interview, but I assure you, this is great stuff, and you're going to want to stick around. But before we do, I want to thank my sponsor, Ruby Receptionists. I love these guys. They provide a great service and a solution to the number one problem that buyers of home services have. This is the number one complaint, and that is that contractors simply don't answer the phone. Or they send them to voicemail or one of those crappy answering services like my doctor uses. But either of those, nobody's going to leave a message. I never do. Your potential customers are not going to. They're going to call your competitor until they get a live person. You spend all this money getting your phone to ring, and these people aren't leaving a message. You have no idea how much business you're losing from this. As the saying goes, you get one chance to leave a great first impression, and that's usually going to come from the first contact that that prospect has with your company. And hopefully, that's not an answering machine. But if you don't believe me, just go to the Yelp reviews, and you look at those 1 and 2 stars the contractors are getting. And I would say probably 90% of them involve some kind of communication problem where they never call them back, they don't answer the phone, you can't get hold of anybody. I don't get it. And then everybody says, I don't have any leads. But instead of taking the time to get into this, just go to check out their website at callruby.com/roofershow. All right. Well, let's get into everything you wanted to know about keeping a full pipeline of qualified leads using pay-per-click. Let's get into our interview with Mark Levesque. Hey, Mark, thanks for coming on to the show. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure being here, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Well, we got hooked up through your program called the Contractor Success Summit, and you had, 10 experts in their field. We were talking about contractor sales, lead generation, and so forth. But that was a great show that you put on. I bought the videos. I still use them because I refer back to them. But that was really an awesome program that you did. And my understanding is you can't purchase the videos right now, but you're going to be doing another conference here before too long.
Yeah, absolutely. So the summit was something that was kind of a first for us. We did that back in May, actually, of this year. And I wish it was only 10, Dave, but there was 20, if I'm not mistaken, 21 speakers on the event. And so, we basically reached out to some industry people, right? Some home improvement coaches, consultants, contractors who had existing businesses. And we picked their brain for about 45 minutes to an hour to see what they would do if they had to go at it second time around. And so they shared with us, things that could help, current business owners better, hire, train, sell, market. And so that was kind of the premise of the summit. And it was a good success. We drew in close to 2,000 or so contractors from across the U.S. and Canada. And so because of that result, I mean, we're going to be doing it again in 2019. So definitely look forward to that.
that's a great number of participants because you had some great speakers, and that's really where a lot of the speakers that I have on the show come from. Kind of go down and pimp your list a little bit and get some of the guys on there, but they're real pros, and I learned a lot, so that was awesome.
You know what? I learned a lot as well. You know, like you said, a lot of professionals on there. And though I run an agency, I'm in the service business as well. And so a lot of the things that that were shared on the summit were things that I can apply to my own business. So,
well, those are some great interviews. But before we get into the meat of this, can you give us a little background about yourself and really what was the problem that you saw that needed to be solved, which brought you to starting your business, WebRunner?
Yeah, absolutely. So WebRunner is a contractor-focused marketing agency. I am one of the co-founders here. So I've had the company for about 7 years. And prior to this, I was in the advertising technology space. So I've always kind of been involved in tech and sales and marketing to some degree. And I did a stint at a software company prior to WebRunner. And so what we did there was we sold technology to advertising agencies to better help them, create, manage, and optimize campaigns across the different paid media channels. So search, Google, Bing, Facebook, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And so after having the opportunity to speak with agency owners, day in and day out for a couple of years, I kind of got the itch to try my hand at my own agency. And so myself and one of my buddies decided to jump ship and, jump into entrepreneurship. And so that's how WebRunner came to be. And of course, today we are a contractor focused marketing agency. But when we started, that is not at all what we were. And so we've kind of gone through all the different walks of life when you look at the digital world. There's so many, different areas of the online marketing world, and we've had the opportunity to kind of touch on each of them. And so over the past couple of years, we've kind of figured out where we can deliver the most value for home improvement businesses. And so that's what we've really zeroed in on. And we turned away from a lot of the services that we used to offer and that we used to provide companies in the early days of our agency. Let's put it that way.
Why home improvement contractors? Why did you focus down on that?
Great question. Well, when we started the agency, we did a bit of traveling. I went to, a couple of conferences where they were predominantly made up of agency owners that had reached a certain level of success. And one of the things that I would hear over and over and over was that being specialized in one thing is really the key to growth, regardless of the business that you're in. It just so happened that we ran an agency. And at the time, that is not at all what we were doing. We were pretty much jack of all trades in the marketing arena. And not only that, but we would focus on so many different industries, right? We had pharma clients. We worked with manufacturing, distribution companies, retail. We worked with some e-com businesses. And so our focus, there basically wasn't a focus. And from a service offering standpoint, we were doing so many things, right? We're building out websites. We're helping businesses with their brand, with their positioning, with their copy, and then campaigns over and above everything. And so that really wasn't a recipe for success. Unfortunately, in the early days, we were looking to take on revenue regardless of where it came from, right? So if somebody wanted to get logos and branding done, hey, we would take it on. And if they needed a new website, we would take it on. And we kind of found a way to make sure that we could deliver on our promise. And I'd say that from the beginning, that was never a challenge because we're pretty we don't like to disappoint. And so we've always been, service oriented and, customer first approach. And so that's never really been a challenge, but scaling has been. And so after a while, we kind of looked at our numbers and realized that, hey, there's something in the home improvement space. We've got, great client case studies. We've got great testimonials. We're really, really delivering impactful results. We've helped a couple of businesses really transform the face of their company through our services. And more specifically, we realized that the pay-per-click services that we were offering was what was really moving the needle the quickest. And so we did a bit more digging, got a couple of people around the table here internally that, senior people, and we just hit the drawing board and said, hey, this is we think this is a good time to actually niche down. And so everything that we had heard at these conferences, we're finally able to be in a position after a couple of years of running a full service agency to turn away a lot of the business that wasn't in line with this new vision or this new mission. And so today I'm proud to say that has been probably the best moves that we've made as a service business, as a marketing agency. Our focus, I mean, we're 100% dedicated to bettering the home improvement space. The way we do it is through, done for you marketing service, particularly helping contractors generate leads for themselves. But then of course you brought up the summit early on. And so that's kind of our way to give back. And of course there is a bit of a bias in there. We do get some visibility and, it helps us generate a bit of leads, but that's basically our goal. It's to empower contractors so they can build better businesses and finally live better lives. That's what we're all after, right? So that's kind of the agency story.
Well, this relates so much to contractors because, as you say, trying to get your focus, contractors want to be everything to everybody, and they want to do commercial, they want to do residential. As you talked about, it's, hey, you're gonna work for anybody as long as you can grow your revenue, and that's where we have such a problem in this industry. I'm a big believer of the riches are in the niches. So you niche down into what you do really well, and that's where you can make your margins, where you can make your profit. And from my experience, this is what happened in my company. I talked about this before, where we were doing a lot of residential and doing commercial, about 50-50. And we'd switch crews back and forth. I finally hired a consultant to come in and find out. First question he had, where are you really making your money? I go, I don't know. When we really looked at the numbers and split those off into two separate profit centers, we could see that we were losing money in the residential end, and it was really dragging down our commercial. So as soon as we eliminated the residential work and focused in on commercial only, we just kicked ass. I mean, it was night and day, and that's where things really started to take off. We added on a maintenance division on that commercial work, and it really turned the business around where we started making the margin, and that's what it's all about. It's not about just growing your revenue. It's about where you can make your money. Focus down on that, and then grow that niche. And as you say, about your work is to contractors. There's so many contractors out there that can use your services. I mean, it's limitless. And I think by focusing down there, really understanding what contractors' problems are, you can really do some good, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I can imagine that, when you brought on that consultant, it was kind of like a breath of fresh air. You might probably scratch your head and say, geez, why didn't I do this earlier? And we kind of had that same epiphany, and it was basically what we did. And from that point forward, it became crystal clear to us in terms of what we should be turning away. And that's probably one of the hardest things to do as a business owner, right? You've got revenue coming to you from a lead or referral, but it's not in line with your mission. And so to have the courage to be able to, really stay true to your goal, to your direction, that's what's going to help you win in the long run. And we've really seen that. We've experienced it. And so I would advise anyone who's kind of spread thin and saying yes to everybody and anybody to really sort of revisit that and think twice, because it's really not the way to scale efficiently. You're going to get a lot of gray hairs, and you're really going to struggle through trying to grow that company.
Yeah, no kidding. It's always hard to say no. When you say yes, when you should be saying no, you get that knot in your stomach and you go, I don't know if this was right. But they can't walk away from those deals when somebody's, holding that carrot out there, particularly, you drop your price and I got more work down the road. There's a lot of guys up there that are sucking the time. You always have that, they say 80-20, 20% of the customers are sucking, 80% of your time. That's where the focus comes down. You want to be working for the right guys. So I think you're just right on about that. That's a great point. My understanding is you only do paid advertising, pay-per-click, and that's different than a full-service agency, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So paid advertising, I mentioned earlier that Google and Facebook is where we like to invest the bulk of our time. So Google is a search engine. Consumers resort to that platform when they have a need, when they're looking for something. Facebook's a little bit different, but again, a great way to generate leads. So we've identified a way that home improvement businesses, contractors can leverage these platforms to quickly generate leads. And so through our experience of running the agency and that story that I kind of walked you through, we had the opportunity, the ability to touch on so many different areas of marketing and got a lot of friends in the contractor or not contractor, but in the marketing space. I've got to watch what I say here. Don't want to offend anybody. There is absolute value in having a well-built, well-structured, well-optimized website. There's value in having a handle on your SEO and understanding content marketing and, you know, building links and having a good social media, you know, strategy. That said, when you're a small home improvement business, a small roofing contractor, right? You maybe don't have those resources in house. You don't have people that have that expertise to help you out on the marketing side. Hiring an outside firm to do all of these things can get very, very costly. And so through offering all of these services over the years, we've had the ability to see that, hey, you know, the paid advertising is something that allows us to be very impactful in a relatively short period of time. So we put money in, we can quickly get money out. And when you're a small business that's starting, this is what you're after. You're after revenue, because as soon as you start getting revenue in, you know, those sales start coming in. Well, now your options sort of broaden, right? You're able to invest in more things, right? You can hire better talent. We can work on your company culture and your retention and your training, your processes. And it just grows exponentially from there. It's bringing in those initial sales that is a challenge. And so our strategy, our solution is something that can work for really, really, really small, contractors, as well as for the contractors that are spending, you know, $100,000 a month online. The strategy doesn't change. And so that's what's great about it. It's something that can really scale as you grow. And so our sort of philosophy behind, you know, all the different marketing services under the sun is that you should really figure out which ones can be the most impactful early on. And so that's really the main reason why we chose to focus on the pay-per-click stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, nothing happens until somebody sells something, so we've got to get the leads in. Now, I know a lot of contractors, they're trying to do this themselves, particularly with Facebook ads. I mean, I know how complicated it is. A lot of contractors just throw in the towel. They say, this stuff doesn't work. What do you say to that?
Well, the first thing I do is I refer people to the blog on webrunnermedia.com. We just published an article on that. I think we've got one titled Why Contractors Shouldn't Do PPC Themselves. And then we've got another one on Facebook, actually. And I mean, it's funny you say that, Dave. It's something that we see and we hear often. And let's face it, right? If you're a roofer, you're a master of your craft. Do roofs, right? Don't try to do marketing. Don't try to do it all yourself. You're setting yourself up for failure. There's so many intricacies of, you know, how to properly structure a pay-per-click campaign on Google. Yes, you know, you can go take a Google course and you can, in theory, understand, you know, how the platform works and what are the things that you need to follow and relevancy and quality scores and all the things that you need to know. But doing it is another game. And not only that, but staying on top of it, monitoring it, optimizing it, it's challenging. If you're not in there all the time, it's difficult. Facebook is very, 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 very similar. In fact, I myself, with the rate at which these platforms iterate and kind of change, if I'm not in the platform regularly, I'll, you know, be sitting next to one of the campaign managers and see what's going on. And I feel a little bit behind sometimes. And I'm in the space. So I can only imagine somebody who's not doing this day in and day out, right? So it's really to just figure out, you know, what is your time worth? If, you know, is this really what you should be doing? Is this where you're going to be most impactful in your business? And very often, for what it costs to have it done professionally, it just doesn't make sense, right? There's that saying, you know, you think this is expensive, or you think hiring a professional is expensive, wait till you hire an amateur, sort of thing, you know? I think I've butchered the quote, but you get the gist of it, right?
Yeah, and I've heard that so many times, you know, where they're just wasting so much money. I mean, I know that it's complicated. So they try to do it themselves. They're not getting the return that they should. If you put that money, invest that money into somebody that knows what they're doing, I mean, you're just going to get such a better return on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can go out and buy all these leads. I know I can get leads on HomeAdvisor, Angie's List, all of these things. Why wouldn't I just do that? I know I can get leads.
Absolutely. And you can, Dave. And you know, a lot of businesses do. And I wouldn't advise against it. What I would advise is to run that along with your own program. Because at the end of the day, what you're doing when you're buying a lead, you're giving money to one of these websites, which has basically built its business from driving traffic to their own properties. They generate leads. And when consumers, you know, go to their platforms, to their websites and say, hey, I'm looking for, you know, XYZ. I'm looking for a roof in my area. Have someone get in contact with me. They're really not reaching out to you specifically, the roofer, even if you're buying an exclusive lead, right? Whereas if you're running your own lead generation program, well, when that lead comes in, that person specifically reached out to you. They've looked at your website or your landing page, and they've identified that, hey, this is somebody who I'd be willing to invest a couple minutes to have a conversation with on the phone, you know, to take time to set an appointment, to meet in person. They've done their own due diligence. So naturally, it's a more qualified, it's a warmer lead, if you will. So that's something that I would watch out for. And at the same time, another thing to look out for is we'll often get approached by people who are currently using these third-party lead aggregators and lead gen sites because they like the fact that there's no risk up front, right? They don't have to invest in hiring a marketing company like us to build out their own system, to build out their own campaigns. They say, hey, I only pay if I get a leads. I love it. It's completely, completely risk-free. Now, as much as we try to eliminate risk on our end and make it easy for even a smaller contractor to get started with us, we're still not to that degree. There you can just buy a lead and that's it, right? So sometimes people will reach out to us and they'll say, well, how much are your leads? And we know what they're trying to do is they're trying to compare. They've kind of dabbled with, you know, these platforms that you've mentioned, and they see that their leads are coming in at $60, $70, $80, and they want to know if they can get cheaper leads with us. Right. I don't know if you've ever seen that, heard that, but this is, you know, this is very, very, very typical. And I'll tell these people that it's the wrong question to be asking. And the way that you need to do the math is really, it's not the lead cost you need to be looking at. It's the cost to acquire a customer, or better known as a customer acquisition cost. Exactly. Because if we give you an example, if I said that, you know, within a specific territory, I'm able to generate leads for a roofer at $100 per lead. Now, if they're already buying leads off of a HomeAdvisor for $70, they might say, well, hey, I'm not going to go pay $30 more a lead. But then if you actually dig into the numbers a little bit deeper, maybe a HomeAdvisor lead at $70, maybe you need 10 of those leads before you get, you know, one sale. So that would render your cost to acquire a customer $700, even if it's $70 a lead. Whereas maybe with our leads, it's costing you $500 to acquire a customer, right? So maybe it is a $100 lead, but every time you get five leads, you close one. So your closing is 20% because the quality is a little bit better. People reached out to you directly. So that's the way you got to look at it. With a system that seems to be costing you a little bit more on a per lead basis, you're actually saving $200 on every customer that you bring on, even though your lead cost is a bit more, right? Does that make sense?
Totally. Why would you want to send somebody else's site rather than your own? And you want to have control over that, particularly with, you know, qualifying your leads. We've been talking about focusing down on that ideal prospect, that ideal customer. And you're not going to do that with HomeAdvisor, where I know with Facebook ads, I mean, you can get down pretty tight to the type of prospect that you're looking for as opposed to a HomeAdvisor, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. And so you're touching on a couple of points here that I think are quite interesting. So not only are you bringing people to your own, you know, web property, a website, a landing page or whatnot, but you have the ability to, of course, capture that lead information. You can offer the consumer who's browsing your webpage multiple ways to get in contact with you. So they can do so via an online form submission. Some people, they're still old school. They want to fill out the info. That's great for you. You capture a bunch of information. Some people, they just want to pick up the phone and talk to a human being. And then others, maybe a younger generation now, they want to send in a text, right? So they just want to text a specific keyword to a certain number and then have you guys reach out to them. Sometimes people want to book an appointment right on your website or your landing page. So these are the different ways that you can leverage your websites and your landing pages to increase the likelihood that you're going to generate a lead. Now, to take that a step further, you also have the opportunity to keep track of people who are reaching these pages, but that aren't really taking the action you want them to. So what I mean by that is if you're giving Google some money every time somebody performs a specific search, because you wanna show up for that keyword, right? They click your ad and they come to your webpage, and then life gets in the way. You know, someone walks into their office and says, "Hey, let's go for lunch," and they leave, and then they forget or whatever. They say, "You know what, I'll continue my research later at night," or "I'm gonna search a couple companies." Well, that person, you know, they just got distracted. Does it mean it's not a lead? It's not an opportunity? No, it's just, you know, the timing isn't right. Unfortunately, you've already paid for that click. Right. So you want to capitalize on that investment, and you want to remarket to that consumer. And so if you are controlling your own system, well, you can put, for example, the Facebook pixel on your website or on your pages so that you can show them an ad on Facebook within a couple of days saying, "Hey, FYI, we're here. Let us know. We've got a promo running," or whatnot. You can position the ad, the creative, whichever way you like, but you can get back in front of people. And if you've ever shopped on Amazon, they're notorious for doing this. You've seen it before. You know, you're shopping for something you don't buy. All of a sudden, you're being retargeted with things. So things are a lot more in your control when you're running your own lead gen program. And this is where I would advise companies to, you know, start doing things on your own so that you have this control and this freedom as you scale.
That's why you got to have somebody that knows what the hell they're doing. You're talking about the Facebook pixel and retargeting. And this is not easy. I mean, you got to have someone that really understands what it is. And that's where you're really getting the value and really targeting on that prospect. And particularly, and this is something I want to get into in a minute, talk about, you know, bringing them back to a sales page or some kind of offer where you're really nailing that down. But before I get into that, how do I figure out how much money I should be spending? I mean, what kind of budget? This is where a lot of guys struggle. Let's say I got $1 million roofing company, you know, and I'm doing okay, but I want to grow this thing. How much money do I have to spend? How are we going to do it? These are the questions that I hear all the time. How would you respond to that?
Well, I mean, that's a great start. I'd say number one, if you can be very clear on your objectives and your goals, and more importantly, share that with whoever is going to be doing your marketing, that's super impactful. Because then we can say, you know, if somebody comes to us and says, "Mark, we've got $1 million business on our hands. What do we need to do to get to 5 million within the next year and a half to 2 years?" Hey, that's a goal that is specific. It's measurable. There's a time frame set to it. There's a goal. There's a revenue goal. Fantastic. From there, we can say, okay, we want to add a couple $1 million to the bottom line. What do we need to do to achieve that? And so again, work backwards. We'd say, okay, well, let's just say we want to go from 1 million to 3 million. Okay. So we want to add $2 million. Well, what's the average value of our sale right now? What does a typical sale look like? And depending if they're in residential or commercial, that'll be different, of course. Okay, fantastic. So how many additional sales do we need to go and get? Based on that, we can look at, based on the sales force that we have right now and our current closing rates, how many leads would we need to be able to go and generate in order to bring in that kind of volume? And of course, something not to neglect is, do we even have the capacity to take on that kind of business, that kind of volume? So there's obviously the whole operational side to it. But that aside, once you can boil it right down to how many leads we would need and what our average, you know, cost per sale needs to be, that sort of thing, it gives you a much better picture in terms of how much you're going to need to invest. So often we see businesses who say, "I want to add $1 million to my bottom line, but I only want to spend $1,000 a month on marketing." All right. I mean, you have to be realistic too, right? So when you look at the numbers that way, it kind of gives you a clearer picture, right? Everybody would love to add $1 million to their bottom line and only spend $5,000. The likelihood of that happening is slim, you know. In terms of rules of thumb, sometimes people ask, how much should people be spending? We see, you know, 3%, 4%, 5% in terms of lead cost, total revenue as numbers that would be very aggressive, very good. We see some that spend as high as 7, 8, 9, 10 points on their marketing, some potentially more. But that's kind of, I'd say anywhere from 5 to 10 is an average of what we're seeing companies spending on their marketing. So it kind of might help to put things into perspective.
You're so right on about knowing your numbers. And this is what we harp on constantly on this show. you've got to work it backwards. You've got to reverse engineer what it is that you're trying to do, particularly if you're going to try to double your business. I mean, first off, you got to think about that, is that do you have the capacity to do that? Now, also what's going to happen is you're going to start running with less efficiency, because most of these contractors, particularly these days, you know, there's a lot of work out there and everybody's scrambling, everybody's busy. And what we talk about on this show is how to make that margin. You've got what we call slippage. And the more you're running by the seat of your pants, the more you're growing, you start losing control and you start losing the margin. Where if you take a realistic approach and you look at this, you know, as you say, you got to know your numbers, you know, your average job size, what's your close ratio going to be, so on and so forth. And then you figure it backwards. And the other thing is with the right kind of targeting that ideal prospect, you're focusing your energy and your close rate's going to improve. You're going to be able to get more money because you're only spending time with those that are appreciate the value that you have to offer. So why do you want to, you've got to ask yourself in the first place, why do you want to double your business? Why don't you do the same amount of business that you're doing now, targeting a lot better, increasing your margins, you're making the same amount of money for the same, you know, for less revenue. And everybody is always looking at revenue. They just want to be bigger. I want to be the biggest guy in town. And you don't want to be the biggest guy in town. You want to be the most profitable. So that's what I think we're talking about. What you're talking about is being able to focus down on that ideal customer. Who do you want to do business for and where can you make your money? And you can only do that if you really know what the hell you're doing. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, a couple points on that that sort of come to mind when we're having conversations and we're in talks with businesses that are looking to, you know, up their lead generation game. We'll always make it very clear that we can only get them so far. And so for us, the customers that we like to work with are the customers that want to be involved and that know that what we're doing is very much on the front end. We can help present a lead. That closing is on them. And their ability to deliver the goods as they promise is on them. Their ability to, you know, deliver service with a smile, white glove treatment, not leave the home with full of nails in the yard and, you know, busted siding and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that is on the contractor. And when the job's done, are you asking for a review? Are you going to get a testimonial? Maybe you shoot a quick video. I mean, there's a lot of additional elements to marketing that are out of our control, at least. And so contractors need to understand that and, stop looking for that silver bullet. It doesn't exist. There's no secret sauce. There's no magic recipe. You know, we have a recipe to lead gen that works. And the contractors that work with us, you know, we were talking about numbers, not too long ago. Very often in our preliminary conversations, we hear that numbers are at a certain level, and our system actually helps in shedding so much light on the numbers that it becomes very clear where the businesses might be falling short. And like you said, so often we think that we're closing at X, so we think our average sale is Y, and when we actually dig in, it's not necessarily the case. So it's important to have a good handle on that and know, you know, what key business metrics, what KPIs are you trying to improve? Because like you say, it's not so much about doing more and more and more. Maybe you can generate more revenue with the volume you're currently doing, right? So it's about running an efficient machine, trying to be as profitable as you can. You don't want to be a hamster in a wheel, right? Just spinning, exerting all this energy and not getting anywhere.
Exactly. Well, what you mentioned before about, you know, are you doing too much revenue? Are you doing too many things that you're not taking care of your customers? And you're not getting those reviews. You're not getting all of the things that are going to drive the value that you've got to offer for your customers, which is going to give you a higher sale price. But I think one thing, and along with that experience where you talk about the back end where, you know, you could get the leads, but the contractors kind of, one, they've got to respond. And particularly when it comes to pay-per-click, particularly when it comes to Home Advisor, I mean, you got about 30 seconds to respond to that lead. And the same is true when you get a lead that comes in on your website, whether it comes in your website or whatever. You've got to respond quickly. And this is just a little plug for my sponsor, Ruby Receptionists. This is what's great about them. You've got to answer that phone. You've got to answer that call. You want to set that appointment. Then it's a matter of you've got an inquiry. Now it's a matter of capturing those and turning it into a lead. That's what it's all about. It's not just about getting more leads where everybody thinks that, hey, if I just had more leads, everything would be solved. And it's a little more complicated than that.
Yeah, absolutely. That in that service that you bring up, it's funny. I was listening to one of your podcasts, and the first time I came across that platform, and we're likely going to be getting in touch with them soon. There are so many businesses that can benefit from this service, and seeing an ROI on that is going to be very, very, very easy. And there are just simply some businesses that don't have the luxury of being able to have a call center or having a receptionist that can handle the phone for them. They're in the field. They've got everything redirected to the mobile devices. And sometimes you can't hear based on what's going on. You know, you got the clack, clack, clack. You got the nail guns going. And I mean, it's not always, you know, beneficial. Service like that can be fantastic. Yeah. And again, you know, it's a matter of looking at it very much from a financial standpoint. Look at the numbers. You know, how many additional deals are you going to need to go and get to justify the investment? You know, and it's usually not that much.
Exactly. So you're going to pay money for a lead to come in. And you direct them to an answering, you know, a voicemail. 70% of callers, they don't leave a message. They're just going to go on to the next guy, and you've wasted that money.
Yeah, exactly.
So now we've got a lead. Let's say somebody's interested. Where are we going to send them? We got somebody to click on us. Are we going to send them back to our website? Are we going to send them to a sales page? I know that a lot of contractors make the mistake of just sending them back to their homepage on their website. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, I mean, this is typical. We see this happen often. The do-it-yourselfers who don't really have experience, the running AdWords. I mean, this is probably one of the first things that you'd learn if you were to take a course on, you know, search marketing or pay-per-click marketing. You know, they'll talk a lot about relevancy. And so, for example, if somebody's looking for asphalt, shingle roof within a certain territory, you'd want to make sure that that keyword comes up in the ad. And then, you know, there's a certain way you got to structure your ad copy on Google. And then, of course, when someone clicks that ad, like you said, that's where you've incurred the cost. Now you've got to do everything in your power to try to convert that visitor into a lead. And so from experience, we've seen that landing pages will outperform a website almost 9 times out of 10. Not always, but sometimes. And so for those of you who aren't familiar with what a landing page is, it's essentially a web page which is dedicated exclusively to that one thing, that one, you know, element that we're looking to promote, to market, that one service. So in this case, it would be asphalt shingles, right? And they just naturally convert better. They're structured in a certain fashion that people, you talked about slippage a while ago, and I like that word. You know, websites are built with a lot of slippage. There's a lot of pages that comprise of a website. There's a lot of links that people can click to. They can get distracted. They can get lost. They can start looking at the other million services that you offer if you're one of these jack of all trades type of contractors, right? And that's not what you want. You want to keep the focus exactly on what the person searched for. You don't want to give them too much info. You're not trying to sell somebody, right? The person who's going to hop on the phone or meet them in person, that's who's going to be doing the selling. Mm-hmm. So it's a mistake to think that your website should be doing the selling for you. The website should be selling you just enough to get people to pick up the phone and call you, fill out a form, start a live chat with you or whatnot. So therein lies the reason why we use landing pages. It's just enough information to get somebody to take action and get in contact with you. And one of the things that people need to focus on for their landing pages is social proof. And I can't stress that enough. Social proof is the notion of presenting people with things that other people have said about your business. So it's not you so much telling consumers, hey, we should be the ones to do your next roof because we're good at X and Y and Z, and these are all the reasons why, and you should trust us. No, you should say, here, we think we're the ones that should be doing your next roof, but don't take it from us. take it from our customers who we've worked with, and let them do the selling for you, right? People can relate much better. They can connect, right? Because there's no hidden bias there. So social proof, super important. And basically, you leave it up to the landing page to convert. And if I can add maybe one other thing to why we use landing pages, is that it becomes easier for marketers like us to isolate certain elements of the landing pages so that we can run tests over time, right? Maybe a specific headline or a specific call to action might work better. Maybe there's a promotion that we can promote that will yield a slightly higher return, right? Or a slightly higher number of people that are going to reach out and get in contact with you. So there's a lot of testing that goes into running marketing. And again, this comes down to time. So usually these are the areas that if you're a contractor and you're trying to do your own marketing, this is really where you're going to fall short, because this requires an expertise. It requires time. You got to know what to be looking for. And so this is where really we excel, and we're able to kind of stretch that marketing dollar further.
So. Exactly, because you can make these little tweaks as you go along, and that's only going to improve your ROI.
Yeah, exactly. You talk about website a lot. I mean, we'll have conversations with contractors that are in the midst of redoing a website, revamping a website, and there's so much emphasis that gets put onto a website. And we'll ask a simple question like, well, how much traffic are you currently getting to your website? And then crickets,
right?
You know? They have no clue. I mean, it really becomes a numbers game. You've got to know, you know, a website will usually convert at a certain rate, and that can be anywhere from, you know, 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5%. Ideally, you want that to be as high as possible. But these are the numbers you need to know. How many people are coming to my website? It's the equivalent of people walking into a store, right? If you've got a storefront, you're not going to sell anything if people don't walk in. So people have to come to your website. And once they're there, what are they doing? Are they actually reaching out to you? That's the action you want them to take. So what's the percentage of people who are coming to your website that are actually reaching out? And then once you know that percentage, then it becomes a little bit more scalable. You know that if out of 1,000 people who hit your website, there's 50 that are reaching out, well, technically, if you bring 2,000 people to your website, you should have 100 people reaching out. And that's really how it works. You just got to look at it that way. And, a pretty website alone is not going to impact the number of people that are going to come to your website. That's something that people need to remember. It's not because, you know, hey, my website's not performing, nobody's coming to my website, people aren't calling me, that you need to go and spend a whole slew of money on redoing a website. That's not always the case. Sometimes, you know, there are ways that you can optimize your website to increase its ability to get people to reach out to you. So if you are getting, you know, some quality traffic, you know, ideal consumers, but and they're not reaching out to you, yes, you've got a website problem. Mm-hmm. But if you've got a website, nobody's finding it, nobody's seeing it, and you're scratching your head wondering why people aren't reaching out, well, there's your problem, right?
Yeah, well, in marketing, we talk a lot about how similar it is to dating. Okay, you get that first date. Okay,
well, I know where you're going with this.
Exactly. Now we're just trying to get to the next step, and it's just like a lead. You've got a lead. Now you're not trying to close the deal. You're not saying, "Hey, let's go get married." You've got to go set up that next date. And then what do you want? You want the next date. Okay, and that's constantly the way you need to think about it. Is what's the next step that you want them to take? Yeah, you can get them to come to your website, but when we talk about like landing pages, we've got to convert those inquiries into, hopefully we're converting them into at least getting information, and hopefully to the point where we're setting the appointment. Because just getting a bunch of leads doesn't mean squat if we're not going to take them to the next step and we can't convert those leads.
Yeah, and I think that comes down to having standard operating procedures in place. When a lead comes in, who's handling the lead, right? Who's the point person internally that's been appointed to tackle these leads? Is it the salesperson? Is there a receptionist? How do we handle objections, the most common objections? Is there a system in place to improve on that process? Are these calls being recorded? Are we making time to sit down and listen to them together, right? What you don't measure, you can improve, right? So measure your calls, listen, take the time and work on that. Appointment setting. I mean, very often we'll see contractors picking up the phone themselves, and they're just so busy that they don't sound that personable on the phone, and they don't seem that excited to be receiving your phone call. And right. So the consumer on the other end says, well, this guy really doesn't seem to be that mm-hmm. that interested in getting my business. Exactly. I'm not sure. I'm going to maybe try someone else, right?
Well, what is there anything that we can do? We've got, we've got that marketing budget. What can we do to stretch that where we can generate as high of an ROI as possible?
Yeah, I think it comes back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier, the notion of once the sale is done, your job is not done. Your job is merely beginning, right? You've got a sale, you've got a customer. It's easier to generate business with existing customers, right? People who've already bought into the idea of working with you or who have worked with you before, people who you've delivered a good service to, you can leverage those relationships and generate and drum up new business. I will never argue with anybody about, referral or word of mouth lead being the best quality lead you can get. We call them silver platter deals and they're great. We love them. Even as an agency, we'll get them from time to time. A contractor will say, hey, you know what? I've talked to one of my buddies. They said you guys are great. We want to work with you. Those deals are usually closed before we even have a conversation. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing in roofing. It's the same thing in contracting. The key is to get more of that on the front end. You know, what we're doing, we're going after cold traffic, right? What we call cold traffic is people who've never heard of you, who don't know you. You're going to generate those leads. You got to close that deal. And then you've got to nurture that relationship. And then, so there's a whole other slew of things that you can do to really capitalize on that. But just that's really how you stretch that marketing dollar. That marketing dollar got you a click. Enough of those clicks will get you a lead. Enough of those leads will get you a sale. And then that sale, well, you can leverage it to go and get you more. And so when you trace it right back to that initial click, that ROI on that campaign becomes much greater if you just have, 10% of your sales who refer you to a customer, right? So look at the lifetime value of your customer. Super, super important. The HVAC business is notorious for doing a good job of selling service agreements, right? Think about ways that you can potentially add additional revenue sources to your business, right? Maybe it's future inspections. I don't know, right? I mean, put some thought into that, but that's really how you stretch the marketing dollar. And I forget which article it was, but I was reading something not too long ago. I think it was on Remodeler Mag, and I forget who the author was, but a great article from a guy who talked about a deal that he closed in the early days of his business. I think it was a painting contractor, and he said that prior to he took the lead, and prior to the appointment, he did his research on who the homeowner was. And it just happened to be that this homeowner was the owner of a Fortune 500 company. And so he was able to relate to that homeowner and ask him questions about himself and his business and his experience. And basically was seeking advice so that he could apply some of his, wins to his own business. And the homeowner was so intrigued by how much he knew about him that he just instantly had a connection with that contractor. And that contractor grew that relationship, and that one lead turned into close to six figures in business. I don't know if it was from one job, multiple jobs, or through referrals. I don't think that was mentioned, but ultimately, connecting at a deeper level. Don't just treat those leads as numbers, right? Try to get to know those customers and forge relationships. And I know it's easier said than done, but if you do care about the customer and you're not just in it for the money, these things should be pretty easy. And from a sales standpoint, salespeople naturally, they're inquisitive. They should be asking questions. It's not all about, going in there and, like you said, getting on one knee and asking people to marry you on the first night, right? So that's what I got to say about that.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that article because David Chisholm wrote that. And I've had David on the show before earlier on. And this guy he's got some great tips. That was a great article. And I shared it just yesterday on all of my LinkedIn contacts, which, by the way, if you're not connecting with me on LinkedIn, you should be, because you'll get some great stuff. So I want everybody to connect with me and learn how to use LinkedIn. And I talk about that a lot too. But anyway, this is some great stuff. I could talk all day long about, marketing and all this, how to get leads, the processes of taking that next step, which is you've got to have that process because the lead comes in. Here's how you're going to present it. Here's how you're going to follow up. Here's how you're going to do these things, because we got to remember that, only about 3 out of 10 people will actually buy at the time, you know, that you're presenting. The rest of them, you know, those other seven guys are going to think about it. They may not, you know, be able to do it for a year or whatever. So how do you keep in touch with those guys? How do we close out the sale, as you say, that lifetime value? How do we ask for referrals? How do we get those reviews? How do we, you know, keep them, keep selling things, service agreements, and so forth? So, like I said, I could go on forever. But in wrapping up, how do we get more information? Because obviously, you got this wired and really dialed down, only doing the pay-per-click side of the marketing. How can we get more information from you?
Yep, absolutely. Pleasure to share that, Dave. So, I mean, if anybody has an interest in learning more about what we do, I'd urge people to simply book a demo with us. Myself, I'll be happy to walk someone through what we do, how we do it. We're extremely transparent. There's no commitments or strings attached or anything like that. If you go through a demo, you like what you see, we'll present you with all the pricing options. If you're not interested, hey, it's no skin off anyone's back. We just go our separate ways and that's it. So booking a demo, I would say, is probably the one thing that you can do. And I suspect that if you do book a demo, go through and you decide to work with us, that one demo, that 30 to 45 minutes of your time, you'll see a huge ROI on that initial 45-minute time investment. So that's what I'd urge people to do. Go to webrunnermedia.com. There's book a demo buttons everywhere on the website. You can do that. And actually, you'll be able to have access to my calendar right then and there. So you don't even have to wait for anyone to get back to you. Just click a link, pick a date and time that works for you. We can go through a demo. At the same time, you brought up LinkedIn. If people want to connect on LinkedIn, they can send me emails. I mean, we're pretty easy to find online. And yeah, I would say that's it. In 2019, we're going to be hosting another Contractor Success Summit. So maybe this time around, Dave, you'll be one of our featured guest speakers, just throwing it out there.
There you go.
And so that's it. I mean, you will be seeing more from us. We're working on some pretty cool things right now.
And Mark, what's your email in case they want to get in touch with you directly?
So my email is mlevec@webrunnermedia.com. And Levesque is spelled, so first off, the letter M and then LEVESQUE @webrunnermedia.com.
Yeah, I screwed that up. I called you Levesque. So
that's okay. Levesque, Levesque, I've heard them all.
Yeah, you probably get a little of that. But and be sure you tell them that you heard about us, heard about Mark on the Roofer Show, so I can get a pat on the back at least. So,
absolutely. And Dave, another thing to mention, maybe if anybody does decide to move forward with us, one of the things we do is we can kick in a $500 ad credit. So that's basically $500 worth of advertising budget that we put in, assuming you stay with us for at least 3 months. So we take the $500, split it up over the first 3 months, and it drops your monthly plan by that amount. So.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a great program. So I'll be sure to put that in the show notes. But Mark, this has been great. God, I've learned a lot. You're definitely a real pro. Mark, we'll be sure to get you back on the show so we can talk more about the Contractor Success Summit that you have coming up and also what you've got going. And I really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks for having me, David. I really enjoy the podcast. Keep it up. It's great stuff.
Well, that's it for the show today. I really appreciate everybody listening. And it is getting to be that time of year again where you've got to get your business plan out there and get ready for next year. And this is the time to do it. You don't want to wait until the end of the year and you're scrambling. So I made it easy for you. You can go to my website at theroofershow.com. There's a free download. It's a one-page business plan. Walks you through how to do it. Gets you going on the process of planning and really simple. I suggest everybody check that out, download it for free. And until next week, we'll see you on the Roofer Show.